Rat Pack, where you at?
Blood alone moves the world of history.
Woo. Welcome to Thunderdome.
Hey, what's going on? It's Friday, December 27th. This is the last in-season podcast of 2024 for me. I'll do podcasts next week, but they're no longer in season. I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face. If you're playing in week 18, I feel for you. It's not even like I'm coming on here and I'm like, dude, you're stupid. No, I feel for you because you could have spent 4.5 months in a fantasy football season only to get screwed because you actually pick good players. Like if you pick Kansas City Chiefs, you might not have them next week. You're screwed because you pick good players. Word of the wise, don't play fantasy championships in week 18. You can still play in week 18. Like if you wanted action, you know, have your championship in week 17 and then have everybody in your league chuck up like, I don't know, $5, $10, whatever. And high scorer gets the money. You could still play. It's just don't have your championship come down to the chaos of week 18. All right. With that public service announcement out of the way, FTNFantasy.com is the website. Go check it out. We have a lot of games to get through. Right, we already have 3 in the hopper. I don't really need to say much about last night. It was not good for fantasy, really, essentially across the board. And there's not much we can do about that, right? No major takeaways from that contest. So let's just get straight into it. You do have 3 Saturday games, and it's somewhat interesting. Like I was looking at the times. There, the first two are normal times, 1 and 4:30. Nothing out of the ordinary there. The Saturday night game is 8 o'clock. It's not 8:15 or 8:20, so just to be sure about that, if you go strolling in at like 8:05 to check your inactives, you're going to be sorry about that. So make sure you just set yourself a little reminder tomorrow. Check the inactives for all 3 games just in case any of your guys aren't going. Let's start with the first contest here on the slate. Gets us the Chargers and New England Patriots. On the Chargers side, so not going to state the obvious here of like McConkey, et cetera, but the backfield is really interesting. No Gus Edwards for this contest. And I know some people ran out and tried to pick up Kimani Vidal. I didn't even really like that because if it was Vidal, it would also be Hassan Haskins, and he would be more likely to get the goal line work, not Vidal. But regardless, I digress because it looks like J.K. Dobbins is going to play. I mean, it's not 100%, but there's optimism. Albert Breer reported this morning that they're expecting him to go. And I gave a quick look on my SiriusXM show this morning. He's available, Dobbins, in like 30% of leagues. Now, chances are you go and look, he's probably not available, but it doesn't hurt to just take a peek. You know, most fantasy platforms don't email you every time somebody drops a player, right? You may not know if he was dropped, and he could have been dropped by a team who's no longer in it. So just go take a quick peek. He'll be a flex play, if not a back end RB2. It's not a bad matchup if he ends up going here. To the other side, just be careful about the Patriots backfield. Jerod Mayo floated the idea of benching Ramondre Stevenson for his fumbling issues. If he goes, obviously he's the preferred flex option. If he doesn't go, I don't know. I really feel like Antonio Gibson's too risky, so I would probably avoid the situation outright. Denver, Cincinnati, second game on the list. Denver backfield, I'm also avoiding really anybody on Denver not named Bo Nix or Cortland Sutton. And Bo Nix is a top 12 option. Like this is a good matchup against Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, like this game's pretty straightforward. You know who you're starting. Obviously, you're starting Burrow, Jamar Chase, Chase Brown. The one moving piece here, I suppose, is T. Higgins. He went limited in all 3 practices and is listed as questionable. That's a challenging one from a pattern standpoint. Limited, limited, limited is tricky. I've seen guys go limited in all 3 practices, not play. I've seen guys go limited in all 3 practices and play. So it's kind of like a true 50-50. Now, the good news, and it feels like a lot of people haven't caught up with this. In nearly every injury situation that will impact us, we get information in advance. It's very rare for a player to be a true game time decision and Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport haven't tweeted out some kind of information about them. It's very rare. So usually what ends up happening, and I do this, like I wake up really early on Sundays to get up to New York for TV. So I'm up at 3:45 a.m. The first thing I do is I look to their Twitters. and usually overnight, I'm sure they schedule the tweets, they tell us who is likely to play and who is unlikely to play. And they're right like 99% of the time. So we get that information in advance. Now, I know you want the information now, but with a player like T. Higgins, you just have to wait and see. And I'm sure we're going to get information in advance one way or the other. And heck, by the time you're listening to this, maybe you already have that information. I don't. But if he goes, he's a top 12 option. Okay, moving on to Arizona and the Rams. Arizona's a, you know, they could play spoiler here. Yes, they're heavy underdogs, but I don't want to count them out. Kyler Murray is boom or bust. There's no way around it. And he's one of those risky guys like an Anthony Richardson, where if you don't like risk, then he's not the player for you. You know, and I know some people get pissed off at me, and I'm not doing this to be a jerk, when they say, what would you do, Jeff? And I would say, it doesn't matter what I would do. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It literally does not matter what I would do. The question that, you know, you should be asking as a fantasy player is, what should I do? Not what would you do? What should I do? And so I was talking through this with a guy yesterday on, you know, the Discord chat at FTN. And I know initially he was kind of pissed off, but I explained it to him. Like I said, my risk tolerance might be different than yours. Like, I have a pretty high risk tolerance, although maybe not the highest. I know some people out there have a higher risk tolerance than I do. But if, let's say, it's an instance like a quarterback who is a boomer bust and he goes bust, or it's a, I'm going to wait. I have a guy who's questionable for Sunday. I'm going to wait and see if he goes, and then he doesn't go. Like, in other words, I'm wrong. If I'm wrong in those instances, I really don't care, you know, because I know there's another game coming. You know, there's another opportunity to play. There's always something else in fantasy football. My risk tolerance is high. So what I would do might not be the same thing as somebody whose risk tolerance is low. Like, if they are wrong, they're going to be really upset. Like, they play the game very differently than me. So I talked that through with this guy, and it turned out he's like, yeah, I wouldn't care either. And I said, okay, well, you just answered your own question, right? You now have the pathway here to make that decision. And I think that's so much more important than what would you do? You have a podcast. What would you do? You have a website. What would you do? Like, doesn't necessarily matter. It's all about how each one of us arrive at the decisions, not the decision itself, right? I'm not playing a game for you. And if we played it my way, you might not like that way, and you might be upset if my way doesn't work. So anyway, talking through that, Kyler Murray is that type of player. You just have to realize your risk tolerance. Boomer bust with Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously, with Kyler Murray. The other moving piece here is James Conner. Now, there does seem to be growing optimism that he's going to play in this one, and he's another one that I think we will know in advance. So I wouldn't worry too much here. He went limited straight through the week as well, kind of like T. Higgins. So a little bit up in the air. But the good news, again, we'll know. And if he doesn't go, well, Trey Benson also was limited through the whole week, three practices of limited. So I mean, he's not even guaranteed to play either, in which case, if it's Michael Carter, no way. But there is optimism for James Conner. On the other side, about as straightforward as possible, right? You know, you're using Kyren and Puka as RB1/wide receiver 1s. Cooper Kupp is faded to fringe wide receiver 2 territory. He's still usable, but he doesn't have the pop he once did. And, you know, as good as Stafford has been, the challenge with him in one quarterback leagues, he doesn't run. So he has to go like 350 and three to be a top 12 option. And, you know, that's like close to a ceiling right now. I just think from a midpoint standpoint, he is better as a super flex. Okay, moving on to the Jets and Buffalo Bills. Yes, there will be some weather in this one. There's going to be wind. There will be some rain. There's a lot of rain this weekend, but I'm not freaking out over the weather. A lot of these instances, unless it's like pouring rain, it's not really that bad. I've seen people make very crazy decisions based on like a little bit of rain, and usually works out poorly for the person who makes those decisions. So just keep that in mind. The wind is the bigger factor. You will have gusts in this one over 25 miles an hour, sustained at about 17 miles an hour. That'll impact the kicking game. It'll impact a little bit of the deep passing game. I do think with Rodgers, we'll see a lot of dink and dunk. Now, obviously, the question there is Devontae Adams. We got to see where he is today. The practice reports, he went DNP and back-to-back practices, so today is going to be pivotal. We'll see. If he doesn't go, then Garrett Wilson will be a top 10 option. Otherwise, Adams is the preferred. Garrett Wilson's kind of more of a wide receiver 3. with Adams, you know, on the field. Breece Hall, the game actually sets up really well for Breece Hall and James Cook. You know, weather games tend to favor the run game. So I like Breece Hall as a top 15. James Cook is a top 20. Josh Allen will still be fine. Somebody had asked me, do they shut it down? Well, they're still playing for the number two seed. Like, if they lose out, I actually ran through this. This was all these scenarios are so complicated, man. So if they lose out and the Ravens win next week, they will both have 12-5 records, and the Ravens have the tiebreaker because they beat them head to head. So that would be the Ravens in the number two spot. And obviously, home field advantage is important. Not having to travel is important. Having the home crowd there is important. Moving on to Vegas and New Orleans, obviously Bowers and even Jacoby Myers, I like him here, but the backfield is intriguing. So if you had to ask me, who do I use, Amir Abdullah or Alexander Mattison in this one? It's Alexander Mattison. Raiders are favored by a point. They should hold serve here. I know Raiders fans don't want them to win, but they should hold serve here, and it sets up better for Madison. Now, on the other side, it doesn't look like Kamara is going to play, although, you know, we still have one more practice. I don't have a Friday report right now, but it doesn't look good for him. If he doesn't go, Kendre Miller will be an RB2, like a back-end RB2. The interesting thing, though, is we could have Chris Olave back in this one. So Chris Olave suiting up, very interesting, no doubt about it. He would at least be a flex play if he manages to get back on the field this week. He's practicing in full, so it seems likely. All right, we're going to pay some bills really quickly here. When we come back, we will talk Indianapolis and a lot of moving pieces for the Giants. And we are back. Let's talk some Colts-Giants. Anthony Richardson. Oh, 48% completion rate, 47.7 to be precise. Oh, boy. Will he play in this one, though? Chances are it looks like he is going to play. Even though he went DNP in the first two practices of the week, we're hearing out of Indy there's optimism he plays. They need him to play because they have to keep winning to have a shot. They really, I mean, there's several things that have to go down this week in order for the Colts to, you know, to have a chance. But the main thing, they need to win first and foremost. They need to beat the Giants. And they really they need Denver to lose to Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati wins in that contest. Denver loses out. They have to. Denver has to lose out, or the Chargers have to lose out. I guess both of them could lose out, and then it's chaos. I don't think the Chargers lose to the Patriots, but it's the NFL. Anyway, they need to win. Do we want to use Anthony Richardson? Well, last week he was QB 13, which wasn't terrible. Like, if you used him, it wasn't devastating. It is, in theory, a good matchup. He can put up points with his legs regardless of what he does with his arm. So I think it's fair to have him right on the fringe of QB 1 territory. Again, if you don't want to risk it, don't risk it. But he is right in that range. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor's rolling. To the other side, okay, so Malik Nabers has already called himself a game time decision. That's not good. There is a distinct possibility he doesn't play. If he doesn't play, I guess Wandale maybe desperation. I like Wandale better for DFS than I do for season long. Not getting cute with Darius Slayton, right? Not getting cute there. Tyrone Tracy also DNP in back-to-back practices. If he doesn't go, then Devin Singletary is in there. And again, it's like a Hail Mary flex play that I really don't like to have to make, unfortunately. Dallas and Philly. Major moving pieces here. So I will tell you flat out, Jalen Hurts isn't going to play. Like, people are acting like he still has a chance. He went DNP in the second practice of the week. That nearly every time, 99% of the time, a guy in concussion protocol with back-to-back DNPs does not play. Keep that in mind. I mean, you could hold out hope. Maybe he's the exception to the rule because it's not 100%, but I really do not have much optimism here for him to play in this contest. So be careful. From there, you'll get Kenny Pickett. I actually don't hate it for A.J. Brown. Like, there's still 7-point favorites in this game, so A.J. Brown should be fine as a top 12 play. Devontae Smith, more of a wide receiver 3. I do think they're just going to force feed Saquon. On the other side, CeeDee Lamb was shut down. The answer is not Brandon Cooks or Jalen Tolbert. Like, stay away from them. If you have to go, like, those are way too risky way too desperate to go into a fantasy championship with. I just can't see that. So really the only playable option is Rico Dowdle. Yes, the Eagles are very good against the run. They're the second worst fantasy matchup for opposing backfields, but he's going to get the touches at least. And so he may not be super efficient here, but if Dowdle gets 20 plus touches, he very likely will be an RB2 option. Carolina and Tampa. Can Carolina play spoiler here for Dave Canales' former team and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Now, they're not favored to do so. Obviously, there are pretty big underdogs here, but I don't want to count Carolina out. Like, they are like the backdoor cover team of the year. I love that. Love what Bryce Young has been doing. Thielen popped up on the injury report yesterday with limited, so keep an eye today. If he goes DMP today, he won't play. Those midweek limiteds are one of two things. Either the injury happened during practice or it was a planned light day for the player. And so the Friday practice is what tells us which was which. Limited or full today, obviously he plays. DNP, he's not going to play. So, and I don't know which one way or the other, which one it is. I know that Chuba is good though. So I'm rolling with him. On the other side, I know Bucky Irving. Wow, man. 920 rushing yards. He's going to have a 1,000-yard season. They've actually had six different running backs in franchise history as rookies put up 1,000-yard seasons. Or, well, five. He would be the sixth. So that's pretty impressive for the Bucs. Great matchup against Carolina. He did have 152 rushing yards against Carolina already this season. So Bucky Irving in a big spot. Love Irving this week. And that's really interesting, too, by the way, because they're still using Rashad White a lot. It's just they're giving most of the early down work to Irving. So, I mean, he's just in a great spot. And Rashad White's still flex worthy. I just expect him to feed Mike Evans a ton in this one. And it doesn't look like Kate Otten's going to go yet again. He went DNP in the first two practices of the week. Tennessee, Jacksonville. On the Tennessee side, we're keeping a close eye on Tony Pollard. Yes, he could still play even if he goes DNP in three straight practices because, well, he's already done that. He's done it twice this season. That's really rare, by the way, but he's definitely bucked the trend. Now, if he doesn't go, Tajay Spears becomes an RB2. If he does play, they're both just flex options. And they kind of cannibalize off of each other, which that definitely sucks. Otherwise, you know, you're using Calvin Ridley, and then that's kind of it. Like, I just can't do the Nick Westbrook-Ikhine touchdown-dependent thing. Over to the other side, Brian Thomas Jr. is rolling. He's a top 10 play for me this week. Great rookie season for him. But like we have with Tennessee, we have the same thing in Jacksonville. Like, I'd love it if it was just Tank Bigsby. He's been great this season, 3.97 yards after contact per attempt. That is second most in the NFL. And yards after contact is very important because it's how you perform independent of your blocking. It's a really important thing. He's been great there. But you have Travis Etienne, so with both playing, can only really trust Bigsby or Etienne as flex options. Miami and Cleveland, Tyreek Hill, not giving you the yardage totals we'd once seen, but he does have five receiving touchdowns over his last seven games. So at least he's giving you that. He's still a top 20 option. I think this really comes down to it's going to be a Devon Achane game coming off a big one against the 49ers. Actually, it was the third time in Dolphins history they had a running back record 100 plus rushing yards and 70 plus receiving yards in a game. The only other to do so, Ronnie Brown. That's pretty awesome. And Troy Stradford going back in the Wayback Machine right there. The challenge is on the other side. Like, I'm using Jerome Ford with confidence, but I am not using Jerry Jeudy with confidence. Listen to these splits. With Jameis Winston as a starter, Jerry Jeudy averages 111.2 receiving yards per game. That's over seven games. In eight games with either Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Deshaun Watson, he averages 35.8. At best, he's a flex option. That's rough right there. All right, next game on the list, a great one. Green Bay, Minnesota. Green Bay is a one-point road favorite in this one. This is awesome right here. Speaking of awesome, Sam Darnold, it's been tremendous. He's QB7 on the season, and that's exactly where I'm ranking him for this one. It helps when you have Jefferson, Hawkinson, Addison, all of that together. Great for Darnold. Aaron Jones, so he did face Green Bay earlier in the season, first revenge game of the season. In week four, had 139 scrimmage yards on 26 touches in that one. He's been over 20 touches each of his last two, so I do like him, but not as an RB1. He's only had one top five finish on the season, so he's more of an RB2 option. To the other side, it is a tougher matchup for Jordan Love. However, in that week four contest, he had 389 and four. So he's still a fringe QB one. I'm trying my best to avoid the wide receivers because you never know who it's going to be in any given week. So really it's Josh Jacobs who I'd be keying in on. Yes, they're good against the run as well, but Jacobs is a high volume play in this contest. Atlanta and Washington, I mean, come on. We get Jaden Daniels versus Michael Penix. This is awesome. How will Penix perform in this one? Well, I tell you, he was good in last week's debut. He was. Even though the numbers weren't fantastic, he didn't really have to do anything. They blew them out. So here he's going to have to do something. And this game is pivotal for both teams. Washington wins, they're in the playoffs. It's done. All the wild cards are settled. The only thing that we'd have to settle then would be the divisional winners from the West and the South. If they lose, well, Atlanta obviously wants to win because they want to win the South. So, I mean, there's a lot on the line in this one. Washington is favored, but I think Penix could be a super flex option. He's fine for Drake London and Darnell Mooney. Bijan is still elite, and no thanks to Kyle Pitts. Over the other side, I mean, straightforward, using Daniels and McLaurin as we normally would. Same with Robinson. Robinson's an RB too. I think this game is actually a pretty easy one for fantasy purposes to decipher. That leaves us with Detroit and San Francisco. Well, at the beginning of the season, this looked like it was going to be quite a showdown. As we've gotten to hear, maybe not as much, but the good news is Dan Campbell said they are playing. They're not resting anybody. They are playing. So Jared Goff, QB1, he's got 33 passing touchdowns, actually second by a Lions quarterback all time. Matthew Stafford has the record. I don't think he gets it. But regardless, you're starting who you have. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs is an elite option. Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams, and Sam Laporta. You know, it looked like he was going to be a big-time fantasy bust, but now down the stretch, he's kind of regained form and is the guy that a lot of people drafted him to be. Unfortunately, I think for some, it was a little too late. On the San Francisco side, straightforward with Brock Purdy, Juwan Jennings, even Debo Samuel kind of back in our good graces after last week, and then George Kittle. So the moving piece here is the backfield. The good news, Garendo got limited work in the first practice of the week. So we've only had the one practice so far for them, Thursday's practice. So we'll have to see where he is today, tomorrow. In a perfect world, he just goes full today and answers all those questions, but I don't think it's going to be a perfect world. But really looking for at least limited in the remaining two sessions. If he does log any DNPs, it's not good. If he goes, he's an RB2. If he doesn't go, Patrick Taylor's a desperation flex. Like, it's a tough spot there because Patrick Taylor, last week he played every snap and really did not do well in the process for fantasy. So we'll keep it at that. All right, so that is it. Remember, you don't need upside. Upside does not win fantasy matchups. Points do. So don't chase that upside. You chase the upside, you're also chasing downside, and that could be very detrimental. If you want my start sit recommendations, they are my rankings. If I have a player ranked at 16 and another player at 17, I am starting the guy at 16. You know, that's how I roll here, keeping it nice and easy. And that is all up over at ftnfantasy.com. Next week, I'm going to come back. I'll do a normal Monday show. Next week, we'll do a midweek show and maybe an end of week show. I am going to take New Year's Day off for, you know, rest, rehabilitation, and all that good stuff. But we'll have at least three pods next week. And let's call it three. It's going to be three pods next week. So we'll still get you set up regardless. And I will still have all the projections and rankings and all that fun stuff throughout the course of the week there at ftnfantasy.com. Follow along with me on Twitter /X at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe, and on Blue Sky as well at Jeff Ratcliffe. Best of luck to you. Enjoy. Don't forget to enjoy it too. It's hard to make it to a fantasy championship game. So best of luck to you this week, and hopefully you hoist those trophies. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.